You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So to wrap up on this week's discussion, we want to explore the intricate dynamics involved in discussions about accepting and refusing the mark of the beast, considering both individual and societal. Hey, English. It's Friday. Societal. Oh, okay, that one. You know what I mean, eh? Dimensions. So... Don't miss this as it impacts the way we can perceive our future. We are joined once again for the last time this week by my pastor, Aisham. He's been holding the fort. Mfundisi has been, my elder has been coming through this week, coming through with the information. So today, Shemne, the last one, just for this conversation, he's going to be back because we loved him, right? And we appreciated him. So Elder Ngandi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Zanele. How are you doing?
We are good. You are good, my elder. Thank you for coming through for the last time this week, ne? But you're going to come back again, right?
Yes.
Yay! Yes! All right. So I'm going to ask that before we start. Can you please pray for us?
Shall we pray? Our Father who is in heaven, yet again we come before you this morning, acknowledging your mercies that are new every day. As we approach your throne, it's with contrite hearts because we know we are approaching a righteous God whose grace is sufficient for every one of us. As we listen to your word, our prayer is that may you draw us closer to you than ever before. May you lead us even in the paths of righteousness to the honor and glory of your name. Continue blessing AWR, Seed Media team, even as they continue broadcasting to baptism. This we ask and pray in your name. Amen.
Amen and amen. My elder, we've spoken a lot, you know, about what the mark of the beast is, what the issues of technology, the issues, like, we've done a lot. And today, as we wrap it up, we just want to speak about, you know, receiving and accepting, you know, rejecting and receiving the mark of the beast. Is there. So when, how might accepting or receiving the mark of the beast be perceived in terms of an individual's faith or relationship with God?
Okay, so probably let's answer it this way. We believe as a church that Jesus is our personal Savior.
Yes.
And he calls us to salvation at a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
Like has been stated previously, at the core of accepting or refusing the mark of the beast is worship.
Mm.
Who is God in your life as an individual? When we go back to Exodus 20, verse 2, this is what God says. I am the Lord your God who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. The call is not what do Seventh-day Adventists believe, but how do you as an individual relate to God? Listen to the appeal from God in Revelation 14, verse 9. If any man, not if any church, this is not a doctrinal issue, which you can say, we as Seventh-day Adventists believe that the mark of the beast, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
This is a salvific issue.
Mm.
God won't save you because of the doctrines of your church. Much as the doctrines are important,
mm-hmm.
God will save you because of your relationship with him at individual level. Our response to refusing or accepting the mark of the beast should not be based on emotions. Fear of the consequences of refusing the mark of the beast or fear of the repercussions of receiving the mark of the beast. The bottom line is when it comes to the issue of the mark of the beast, it's at a personal level. And this has to do with our faith, our belief, our relationship with God. Take away our relationship with God. Most of us would fold on the premises that, you see, this has to do with economic advantages. It has to do with social status. And at an individual level, you need to have a personal relationship with God.
And that relationship we're having with God, my elder, it's very, very important as people. We should not, it's something that we should not neglect, right? So looking at this, the mark of the beast, are there scriptural or doctrinal references that influence beliefs about the spiritual consequences on such choices?
Okay, yes. Let me refer the listeners to Daniel and his three friends.
Okay.
You see, these young men are taken into slavery into Babylon.
Mm.
And when they get into Babylon, they are told to eat of the king's food. And we know that there was unclean meat there. There was defiled food there.
Mm-hmm.
And so these chaps, slave as they were, they refused to eat.
Mm.
So it takes a lot of character. It takes a lot. It has to do with relationship. So if you don't have the relationship, you'll be saying, no, if I were to refuse here, they would send me into prison or they would kill me. But these young people refuse to eat from the king's table because they believe that the one who is bigger than the king was in them. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to offend him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, further to that, look at the characters of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Okay.
For some people who may not know, this is Abednego, Shadrach,
mm-hmm.
and Meshach. Now, when they are told, there's going to be this, and you need to bow down before the statue. And these kids could have easily said, let's bow, but we are not bowing before the statue. In our hearts, we are bowing before what? Before God. But they said, no, that can't happen. We know that there's only one God that should be worshipped. And for that reason, they refused, even when it meant them being thrown into the furnace of fire.
Mm.
Now, The response, I like their response. They respond to the king and says, you see, we respect you, king, but we are not careful in the way we answer you. If you throw us into the lake of fire, we know that our God will save us. But even if he does not save us, be it known to you, we will not bow before this statue.
Mm.
But this is not the only story that we find. Daniel himself, when he is the third ruler in the Medes and Persian kingdom,
mm.
he is aware of what his peers are scheming, and what does Daniel do when the decree comes and says you should not kneel and worship any other, you see, other than the king? Daniel goes, opens the windows in his house, faces where Judah is, and he kneels to pray. Even when he knew the consequences. You see, this has to do with character and relationship.
Yeah.
So when we read these things, they are not there as stories. They are telling us that there's coming a time when we will be brought into a situation like these ones, and we can refer to this. If fellow human beings could stand, why shouldn't we?
Mm.
Now, we have talked about the Old Testament characters.
Yes.
What about John, Peter, and the other disciples? When they are taken into prison for preaching Christ, and you see, they are beaten, they are thing, and then they come out rejoicing. Can you imagine that, Anina?
Mm.
You see, you are beaten, you come out rejoicing, saying it is a good thing to be beaten for Christ rather than to save man.
Mm.
What about Paul and Silas? You see, these chaps are preaching the gospel, and they're arrested. When they're arrested, they should have told God, look, God, we are doing your business, and we know you are capable of insulating us, of protecting us from these people that are harassing us. But no. They don't complain. What do? They break out in praising and worshiping God.
Mm.
Why? Because they have a relationship with God. What made these people go to this length is a deep relationship with God, acknowledging that God is the author and the author of their lives and the sustainer of their being. Doesn't scripture say, for in him we live and move and have our being? Elsewhere it says, Anile, this is one of my favorite texts.
Yep.
For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Mm. So when we are brought into situations like this, we shouldn't worry about the consequences. We should always remember to live is Christ and to die is gain if we are dying in God.
He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Mpundi, oh, my LDC, why am I saying Mpundi? It's coming. Anyway, as we continue with the mark of the beast, my elder there, you know. So as individuals, you know, what ways now do we consider the preservation of personal freedoms and autonomy when contemplating the acceptance and the rejection of the mark of the beast?
Okay, so anything related to the devil's anile, whether it's a small thing or it's a big thing, anything that has to do with the devil is giving up our freedom.
Mm.
If you decide to drink alcohol today, you become a slave to alcohol. That's how the devil operates. If you decide to be telling lies, you decide to become a slave of the devil. And you are giving up your freedom. And you are ever going to be worrying, creating story after another. That's how the devil operates.
Mm.
He is a slave master. He takes away freedom. But sometimes we think we are smarter. We think, no, let me enjoy a bit of life. But every time we give an inch to the devil, he takes a kilometer in our lives, and he makes us prisoners. But the other side is also true. You see, the beauty about God is that he has this thing that when we accept him as our personal savior, he gives us liberty. Liberty against anything that we may term as issues that would shackle us down.
Mm.
Now, talking about preservation, this is what Christ says. In Mark 10, verse 23 to 31, this is what Jesus says. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God.
Mm.
Okay? Now, the concept of rich here should not just be about material riches. Of course, he's referring to material riches, but the rich here has to do with comfort.
Mm.
The disciples were amazed at the words. Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God.
Mm.
It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up.
Mm.
We have left everything to follow you.
Mm.
Then now, this is what I like. This is Christ's response. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much on this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with the persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life.
Hmm.
But many who are first will become last, and the last will be first. Now, what a warning and an assurance.
Yep.
We are God's children, should never worry about the consequences. We should always remember, Christ has gone this way before us. And because he's gone this way before us, he is able to take care of us when we need to be taken care of, because we have a priest who is able to circle us when we need the circle. And so there's no need to fear. There's no need to be heartbroken when the consequences come our way.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. Mpundisi, we spoke about systems, organizations, right? So how do now the discussions consider, discussions, why is organization jumping into my sentence now? You know, so how do discussions consider the role of governmental policies in relation to the mark of the beast and its potential impact on individuals and the church?
Okay, there's some parts that I needed to talk about as we get to that portion you've just asked.
Yes, you can start with that one, Kundis.
Yes. I just want to give an illustration of Peter. You see, Peter is approached by Jesus, Jesus approaches Peter in Matthew 26, verse 34, and tells Peter that, look, Peter, you will deny me 3 times before the cock crows.
Mm.
And Peter looks at Jesus and says, you are joking. Mm. I will not do that. You see, and as far as Peter is concerned, he is sure he is not going to deny Jesus. But you see, that's where the issue is. When it comes to most of us, our belief system is probably hinges around what we call support system, what we call church. When we are in a church environment, most of us feel comfortable and we feel that, okay, when these things happen, I'm going to say no. Or when these things happen, I'm going to say yes to Christ.
Yeah.
But you see, it's a different situation. When the temptation came, when a young lady, not a muscular man, but a young lady approached Peter and says, "You were one of the disciples." Peter looked at her and says, no, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know that man. Another woman comes and says, "Peter, I mean, I think you were one of them." And he recused. Mm-hmm. He moves away from where you, and he goes to the gate. And there he is also told, "Look, you were one of them." And he started swearing and cursing. Now, what made Peter behave like this is because he had no connection with God. When it comes to issues of belief, we should have a connection with God. We shouldn't be self-dependent. We should appreciate the role that the Holy Spirit plays. We should admit that on our own, the flesh is willing, but the spirit is what? Is weak.
Yes.
And then Christ says, listen to what Christ says. He says, you see, in Luke 8, verse 23, and he said to them, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." In Luke 14, verse 26 and 27, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." And verse 27, "And whosoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Verse 33, "In the same way, those of you who do not give up anything, who do not give up everything, you cannot be my disciple." Now, Faida, you see the issue of being accepting or refusing the mark of the beast has implication in terms of our relationship with either the members of our family or people in our society. You see, a simple illustration is that it's very easy to give tithe or to return tithe from $100, okay? And if I go home to my wife and she's not a believer and I tell her that I've taken out a $10 from $100, she may not look at me with evil eyes because it's a $10, all right?
Yes.
Now, imagine it's a $10,000. I go to my wife and tell her, exactly. No, I go and tell her that, look, I've taken out $2,000 after I've taken out $3,000 for taxes.
Mm.
And then she's thinking, from a $10,000, we now have a $5,000.
Mm.
And she'll be thinking, what's wrong with you? That's exactly what will happen with the mark of the beast.
Mm.
When you start deciding that, look, I am giving up my employment, my good job, because I will not bow and worship the beast or accept the mark of the beast.
Mm.
People will think you've gone crazy.
Yay.
You see, people will actually think that you're not okay. It's just a day. You see, what's in a day? What's the difference between the 24 hours of Sabbath and the 24 hours on Sunday? People will think that you're not okay. But at the bottom line, is who is behind that day?
Hmm.
You see, when I say I refuse to accept the mark of the beast, I'm actually saying I choose to worship God, God who created, and I refuse to worship the devil or his proxy when it comes to issues of Sunday. So these are things that we should look at broadly and accept that these consequences might come, but they are coming for the good thing because we are affording God. Now, coming to the questions that you asked, let me just give, let me answer it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Governments are powerful.
Okay.
You see? They are very powerful. Who shut down churches during the COVID time?
Government.
It was the government. Mm-hmm. You see? And all they needed to do was to speak.
Mm-hmm.
No. I want you to understand, even in America, you see, where people say, it's my freedom, it's my rights, churches were closed, okay, because of what? COVID.
Mm.
There's a tennis player, I don't know if you know tennis, Zanine, or you know people that play.
I know.
Yes, yes.
Novak Djokovic.
There's a player, you know Djokovic is probably the most crowned tennis player right now.
Yes.
But you see, Djokovic refused to be vaccinated.
Mm.
And because he refused to be vaccinated, is it 2 years ago, he was refused entrance into Australia.
Yes.
He was refused participation in the Australian Open. Why? Because she was not vaccinated. That's how powerful governments can be. Now, in chapter 17 of Revelation, Daniel, we find a very interesting story. Let me read verse 3 and verse 5 and verse 6. Now, this is what the Bible says. And so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven horns and ten horns, seven heads and ten horns. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and an abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Christ. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, this is a very scary scenario. The woman in prophecy represents a church. The beast in prophecy represents a nation or a political government. When the woman or the church takes the reins of the government, there are problems. You see, when the people were running away from UK, from all over, going to America, the very first thing they did was that the church and the state should be separate. The reasons are very simple. You see, the church is a very powerful organization. But at the same time, the government is very powerful. But now bring the church and the government together, there's always disaster. This is exactly what happened in the Dark Ages. So what we are looking at is, as the church is taking the reign of governments, there will be terrible policies that are going to be enacted. And these policies that are going to be enacted are going to restrict the rights of those who refuse to accept the mark of the beast. Now, this is not a joke. This is just a simple warning. And we are grateful to God through his child, John, to review these things to us. When they are reviewed to us, they are not meant to scare us. They are meant to warn us, to tell us that there's coming a time when the church is going to take the reins of power. And when that happens, persecution will unfold to those who continue believing and trusting God as their personal savior. I end here.
Indeed. Mfundisi, oh, Elder, thank you so much for coming through and speaking to us about the mark of the beast. I believe that this is a conversation that if you would miss certain parts, you will miss it, you know. That listener I told you the other day, they're like, I know it's okay because I missed 2 days. So that's why they were not able to follow through on that other day. But we do have the podcast on www.sidmedia.org so people can, in fact, go through and search for them so that they can listen. So, Elder, thank you so much for coming through and being with us today. So I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for our listeners so that they may understand this particular topic and they may read and study their Bibles so that they can know more.
Thank you very much, Daniele. As we pray to the listeners, we want to let you know that we don't refuse the mark of the beast to be saved. We refuse to accept the mark of the beast because we are recognizing who God is. And we are giving homage to the God who created, to the God who redeemed. All these others, the influences that no matter how powerful they are just proxies of the devil who has been crying to be given the same homage that God deserves. The devil does not deserve homage. He never created anyone. Shall we pray?
Amen.
Our Father who is in heaven, yet again, we want to acknowledge that you are God and there's no other. How we plead earnestly that you impress it upon all of us that when it comes to making choices, there's nothing that can take your place. There should be nothing that takes precedence over over you in our lives. We want to hold you supreme. We want to hold you first and best in our lives, and that can only happen if you baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Our prayer is that you take time to insulate us and to give us the grace of the Holy Spirit that will always choose you and put you first and best as we continue living on this side of eternity, irregardless of the consequences. This loving God is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. My elder, thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day as you prepare the Sabbath for the Sabbath with your family.
Happy preparation day.
Thank you so much, elder.
God bless and keep you.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.